Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, listen to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
In the Bible book of 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, John told the young men, "The Word of God lives in you." Those same words provide the sermon title for this week's sermon by Brother David Johnson on this Words of Life program. Our program is sponsored by the prayers and contributions of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. We are thankful for this encouragement. We pray that God will bless you as you listen to songs of praise and the sermon that will follow.
Symbol of his flesh. she broke, and thus to all his father spoke. My broken body thus I give for you, for all to eat and live, and of the sacred feast renew, that brings my wondrous love to view. Then in his hands the cup he raised, and God anew he thanked and praised, while kindness in his bosom glowed, and from his lips salvation flowed. My blood I thus pour forth, he cries, to cleanse the soul in sin that lies. Partake, and when the cup ye pour, remember still my dying hour.
Please pray with me. Holy Father, we thank you for your word as you reveal yourself to us and show us the way of salvation. Please bless all who are serving you in living, teaching, and preaching. Especially be with our listeners who may be troubled with health problems or spiritual concerns. There are persecuted Christians throughout the world, and they need your encouragement and protection. Your word teaches that Jesus is going to call us to himself at your appointed time. Please help us to be ready. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now present a sermon entitled, The Word of God Lives in You.
It's wonderful to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, The Word of God Lives in You. And our primary text is taken from 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Please listen to the Word of God. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. This is the Word of God. May He add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. And may we always allow the Word of God to stir our hearts, minds, and wills to do His will. One sure essence of life is growth. Physical growth normally comes automatically. However, spiritual growth takes diligent effort on our part. The goal of all Christians is to grow inwardly and outwardly in Christ's likeness. When physical growth is hindered, either by birth defects, disease, or malnutrition, the results can be tragic. But an even greater tragedy is when Christians fail to grow and mature spiritually. Immature Christians cannot fully take advantage nor bask in all the blessings and privileges that God has reserved for them. Our mindset of increasing faith should be as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 18, verse 2, which says, The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield, and the horn or strength of my salvation, my stronghold. This describes maturity of faith. which should be steady and stable, and especially needed when hard times come, and they will. Believers have many admonitions or exhortations in Scripture to grow closer to the Lord in our sanctification. For example, the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So our lives in pursuing godliness should also be as, yes, a sweet aroma to our God. The Apostle Peter likewise challenges all believers in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 that says in part, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." We should understand that spiritual growth is not necessarily measured by the calendar. Many who have been Christians for many years are sometimes less spiritually mature than others who have been believers for shorter periods of time. This usually occurs due to inadequate instruction or personal study in the Scriptures. It can also result due to fleshly or worldly disobedience, an inconsistent personal application of the principles of the Word of God. Someone has written, quote, "Maturity begins to grow when you can sense your concern for others outweighing your concern for yourself." Also, maturity is moving from soft skin, tough heart, to tough skin, soft heart. Also, maturity is the ability to do a job, whether supervised or not, finish it once started, carry money without spending it, and bear an injustice without wanting to get even. Also, maturity proceeds through four stages as follows. Help me, tell me, show me, follow me, end of quote. Which reminds me of the words of the Apostle Peter. "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. So now let's dive into our text, our primary text, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. "I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name." In the original Greek, "dear children," or "little children," New American Standard Bible, means "born ones," referring to offspring in a general sense, without regard for age. This terminology is commonly used in the New Testament to describe believers as the children of God. By using this term, John was addressing all who were true children of God at any level of spiritual maturity. Once a believer genuinely receives Christ through saving faith, he or she is promised forgiveness of all their sins. Forgiveness upon repentance is granted not due to the believer's personal worthiness, but instead due to his name, or for his name's sake. That is, by God's grace, through the work of his Son on the cross, to his glory. Believers in Christ can be eternally thankful for these truths. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13a. "I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning." Believing fathers should be maturing due to their life experience in Christ. and have spiritual growth as evidenced here, not merely understanding God intellectually, but have come to know Him personally, in relationship with, for example, consistent prayer, praise, and service. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13b. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Certainly a mark of spiritual maturity are the godly, disciplined young men who have overcome the deceptions and lies of the devil. Spiritual maturity manifests itself in purity of mind, tongue, and lifestyle. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13c. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. Although it is not apparent in English, in the English language, the Apostle John, writing in Greek, uses a different word here for, quote, children. Here, the Greek word does mean young children, still under parental instruction. Such children are immature and are in need of parental guidance. So children, as written with a different Greek term in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12, as offspring in a general sense, without regard for age, is not in view, but instead young, impressionable children who are in need of training. So how can these younger children know God the Father? Having been brought up in the Lord, young children in age can still put their faith in God as their Heavenly Father and love Him from their believing soft hearts. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14, the apostle writes repetitively for emphasis of his preceding message. John repeats the message to underscore the certainty of their belonging to God's family, which is yet another way that John teaches assurance of salvation. Certainly, assurance of salvation, knowing that we're saved, is a precious principle from the Word of God that can be known now. In this life, we don't have to wait for the assurance being acknowledged when we are in heaven. We can know assurance of salvation now. Regarding our overall passage, a commentator writes, quote, "Fathers, young men, and children are very clear distinctions which identify three stages of spiritual growth, normally, in God's family. Fathers are the most mature, having a deeper knowledge of the eternal God. The pinnacle of spiritual maturity is to know God in His fullness. As the Apostle Peter wrote in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death." That is, Paul, in his spiritual maturity, was willing even to die to reach sinners with the gospel. His commission from the Lord Jesus Himself. Young men are those who, while usually not yet having the mature experience of knowing God in the Word and through life, do, however, know sound doctrine. They are strong against sin and error because they have His Word in them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14b. Thus, they can overcome the wiles of the devil. Children, in the latter sense of 1 John chapter 2, verse 13c, are those who have only the basic knowledge of God and need to grow. All are in God's family and manifest Christ's character at different levels. End quote. God so very much desires that believers would experience Him, not in a superficial or shallow way, but instead with devoted intimacy of daily prayer, of praise and study in the Scriptures, and of course, with personal application of the Word of God in their lives. Christ-likeness achieved amounts to surrender and submission to our indwelling Holy Spirit as our teacher, as our guide and helper through a lifetime of obedience. Jean-Henri Fabre was a great French naturalist who began the main part of his work at age 60. He was able to give all his time to it when he was 70. And he was discovered by fame at age of 90, at the age of 90. He had done all of his work without a laboratory. All of his insects had been raised in old flower pots and sardine cans. He always referred to his two best instruments as time and patience. That's maturity. God uses these two things, time and patience, to develop believers' lives. How many times are we told to wait on the Lord? The flesh seldom wants to take time, but God does, for He is dealing with eternity. God also wisely knows that patience needs to have her perfecting work in all of us. May we all grow like a mature oak tree with deepening roots. As our spiritual roots go, the more secure we'll be when storms come our way. Spiritual maturity is being rooted in our Father because of what His Son has done in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, we must ask ourselves, how's our spiritual maturity doing?
I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given?
The sermon that you have just heard was both an encouragement and a challenge. We pray that you are a Christian. If you are not, we are especially delighted that you have listened today. We are taught in God's Word that to become a Christian, you must first truly believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God. We are also shown by example and teaching that we are to repent of sins, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion in water. To receive a free CD of this and next week's program, request broadcast number 2311. That's 2311. Please write to us today. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.